Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I was a student at the Theological College in Salisbury, we would have services in the cathedral from time to time, but also at the medieval Church of St. Thomas, which is in the marketplace in the centre of the city. There in that church is a very rare doom painting, as it's called, above the archway, which dates from medieval times. In the centre, Christ the King is there, seated in majesty, and then on either side, to the right and to the left, those who were destined for eternal bliss and those thrown into the everlasting fire. The last judgment which it predicts, I suppose, is not something we hear much about these days. But then, obviously, you could never forget it. It is there on the walls of the church every Sunday. You saw Christ in majesty, weighing souls, some of whom were ascending the steps of heaven, while others being dragged down to the mouth of hell. And so on this last Sunday of the church's year, we too, at the insistence of St. Matthew, contemplate the last judgment. Our gospel readings in this kingdom season have come from the last of Jesus' great teaching passages in Matthew's Gospel. And today's Gospel is the conclusion, the summing up of that whole series. Jesus has spoken of the severity of the trials that will beset his disciples before the end. He has warned of the suddenness of the coming of man, emphasizing the need for watchfulness and for the right use of God's gifts, especially that precious gift of time, as we come to the last hour, which is so unexpected. And now Jesus has his last word, because the next thing we hear from Matthew is the conspiracy to arrest Jesus and to have him put to death. This last message that Jesus gives to his disciples before them and to his whole church is his final warning to us all. If I fail to feed him when he is hungry, or give him something to drink when he is thirsty, if I do not provide for him when he is homeless or cold, then we will go with those into the eternal fire. Confronted with this warning, what matters is whether we recognize Jesus in the least and the last and the lost, and whether we reach out to him. It is a difficult question. Should we give money to beggars? Would we be doing more harm than good? Clergy especially, when confronted on their doorstep or in the street, can feel very guilty about this, and these words of Jesus ring in our ears, insomuch as you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Like the Sermon on the Mount, this teaching of Jesus seems impossible to us. Impossible because we are who we are. We are not saints. It is also impossible for us because we do meet Jesus almost every day in the needy and the vulnerable. Are we supposed to feed every hungry Jesus that we may see on the streets or on our television screens? What do? We turn to to our Saviour, and we return to these words from the Bible. His last warning should force us to our knees, crying for mercy. But then, such repentance is the first step we should take. And like all of these first steps, these turnings in our life, it opens a new direction. And for Christian discipleship, the direction we are going is much more important than how far we have got. If we look carefully at those words of Jesus, there is something that so easily we can miss. Jesus says, if you do it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, not for all of them, for clearly that would be an impossible task for any one of us. But if you do it to one of the least, each one of us will know who that is and what we must do. And so to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most just with you, all honour, might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen. Amen.